On Friday's page one, Afghan soldiers are killing coalition troops, and not because the Taliban has infiltrated the Afghan military. Researchers say proposed changes in the definition of autism would limit who's diagnosed. That would make it harder for many to get health and educational services. And seven police officials in Haiti were convicted in connection with a prison massacre that followed the earthquake 2 years ago. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. On Friday's page one, a classified report says coalition forces in Afghanistan are being killed by the very Afghan soldiers they trained to fight. Friday's Times says the attacks are motivated by deep-seated animosity. There's ill will on both sides. So far, coalition commanders have not addressed the violence. Friday's Times says it puts a harsh light on U.S. efforts to build a functional Afghan army. That was the centerpiece of the Obama administration's strategy for eventually getting out. Elsewhere on Friday's page one, an expert panel from the American Psychiatric Association is proposing tightening the definition of autism. Rates of autism and related disorders like Asperger syndrome have taken off since the 1980s. Now, in some places, they're as high as one in every 100 children. Many researchers suggest the numbers are inflated because the current criteria are vague. The proposed changes would limit who's diagnosed. That would make it harder for many people to get health and educational services. Dr. Fred Volkmar, the director of the Child Study Center at Yale University School of Medicine, recommended the changes. He says they would put an end to what he called the autism epidemic. He also said the changes would, quote, nip it in the bud. A moment Newt Gingrich had been hoping for collided with one he'd probably been dreading. Texas Governor Rick Perry dropped out of the presidential race and threw his support to Gingrich. But Gingrich's second wife told ABC News he'd asked for an open marriage. Times correspondent Jeff Zeleny has this follow-up on the interview with Marianne Gingrich.
She reveals specific details about their marriage, including a claim that Speaker Gingrich wanted an open marriage with her when he was having an affair with Calista Gingrich, now his third wife.
He said to him, Newt, we've been married a long time. And he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
What was he saying to you, you think?
He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
The Gingrich campaign is pushing back hard against ABC News. They're saying that there's nothing new here, and this is an unfair interview to run just 2 days before the South Carolina primary. But privately, supporters of Mr. Gingrich are worried that this could upset his effort to win over these social conservative voters. It highlights the fact that he has indeed had three marriages, and he had an extramarital affair before his third marriage.
Times reporter Jeff Zeleny. At the CNN debate in South Carolina, Gingrich angrily dismissed questions about his marital history. He attacked moderator John King of CNN, who began by asking Gingrich about his ex-wife's statement that he wanted an open marriage. Then Gingrich took on Mitt Romney and the other remaining candidates. Also on Friday's page one, a profile of Santorum from his days as a college Republican to his defeat for a third term in the Senate in 2006. He proved to be a sharp tactician who became a member of the Washington establishment he'd once railed against. Former Congressman John Doolittle, who's a Santorum supporter, says Santorum figured out how to work the levers of power, and that made him effective. An ethnic war is building in Myanmar, even though the Burmese government has begun political reforms. That's raising human rights concerns among U.S. officials. The military has gone on the offensive in northern Myanmar. That could jeopardize the diplomatic warming trend with the U.S. It could also alienate China. It wants stability along the border. Seven police officials in Haiti were convicted for a prison massacre that took place a week after the 2010 earthquake. 20 others who were tried in absentia were also convicted. Six were found not guilty. The verdicts were handed down on the second anniversary of the massacre. The judge sentenced the former prison warden to 7 years. Inside Friday's Times, Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation agreed to settlements with 36 people who'd been hacked by reporters. Actor Jude Law was one of them. Reporter Ravi Somaya was in court in London when the settlements were announced.
It was actually a pre-trial hearing, which is usually quite a boring occasion in which lawyers and the judge thresh out, you know, technicalities to do with the trial. But in fact, the atmosphere was absolutely electric. There was standing room only. People were sitting on the floor. In the end, 18 of the people who were settled with had statements read out in court. They said what had been done to them. The son of the British serial killer, Harold Shipman, had his case settled, and his case alleged only email hacking. I don't think we'd ever heard an overt admission that emails had been hacked before.
Reporter Ravi Somaya. Federal prosecutors shut down one of the world's largest internet file-sharing sites. It's called MegaUpload.com. They also charged 7 people with copyright infringement. The hacker collective known as Anonymous said it took down several websites in response, including the Justice Department's site, along with the sites of 2 industry groups that had been pushing the anti-piracy legislation that prompted Wikipedia to go dark and Google to black out its logo on Wednesday. Friday's Business Day section says that high-profile protest started in some of the less mainstream parts of the web, like the social news site Reddit and the blogging service Tumblr. It wasn't long before they became a coordinated group with a mainstream following. In Friday's New York report, flyers distributed on college campuses last month called for volunteers to teach English in Mexico during winter break. 2 New York area students signed up. They say they ended up confined to a hotel near Dallas for what was billed as teacher training. They say security guards discouraged people from leaving, and they were pressured to listen to sermons by and about Korean pastor Ok Su Park. That's our preview of Friday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.